Hi, welcome to Moments with Marilyn. I'm your host, Marilyn Boyer, the mom of 14 homeschool kids. We homeschooled for 37 years, believe it or not, and we graduated our last one, I think, 5 years ago. And it is my passion and my privilege to share with young moms tips and tools to make your journey easier, things that I wish that I had done, things I wish I hadn't done, looking back in retrospect. And I also have the advantage of asking my kids, what things did we do that were helpful to you? What things did we do that were not helpful to you? So that's the kind of thing I would like to share with you. And if you have a topic you'd love to hear me address, let me know. And if I feel like I can do that, I would be happy to. So this week we are continuing our study of forgiveness. And in the show notes, I will put up link to Evangelizing Those Who Wrong You by Milton Vincent. I said in the last podcast, this is a podcast that I listened to a few years ago and received much benefit from. And occasionally, if I'm struggling with forgiving somebody, I will listen to it again. It's a good thing that we need to be reminded about. Okay, we left off with his definition of forgiveness. And I want to say that again because it's so good. Forgiveness is to send away the sin, because when somebody sins against you, you see them through the eyes of that sin. When you look at them, you think about that sin. So you send away the sin and you hold it against the sinner no more. But then you can't stop there. You have to positively favor them with blessings they do not deserve. Real and practical good to do to them. And we ended with the story last time of my daughter Kate making the cake for her brother who had teased her. So this is something we need to lead our kids. We need to take them by the hand and help them apply forgiveness in a practical way. You can't just say, oh, I forgive you. I think of times in the past when a child has sinned against another, we tell them to ask forgiveness. Please forgive me. Like, you know, they don't really mean it, but they're not understanding what it is all about. So that's where our job comes in, to teach them. Okay, there are four steps entailed in forgiveness. One is the one that takes the longest. It's the journey to forgiveness. And probably the more terrible the sin against you is, the longer it's going to take your journey to get to forgiveness. Steps two through four are the journey through forgiveness. But the hardest place is number one, the journey to forgiveness. Sometimes there are people that are greatly sinned against, and it takes them a long time to journey to the place where they can forgive. And that may happen to your kids. You know, if it's somebody knocked over their blocks or whatever, it doesn't take very long to get to the place where they can ask forgiveness. But if it's a very major sin against them, somebody lied against them and ruined their reputation or whatever, it's going to take them longer to get there. So let them know, listen, I know there's going to be a long road ahead of you. And let them know, I will be with you every step of the way. And ask your kids, are you willing to go on a journey that will lead you to a place of healing and forgiveness? And, you know, you want them to be able to say, yes, I mean, I'm not there yet, but I want to do that. He talks about taking people on a 360 around the cross that points to the cross, and invite your child or that person, somebody you know who's struggling with forgiveness, to walk around the cross. Because Jesus is the only one that can bring a person to a place of forgiveness. Milton Vincent says there's four steps of forgiveness. The first is go to the cross and do some gospel thinking. Okay, everything starts with our thoughts. We need to talk truth to ourselves. The only truth is the word. We need to talk truth to ourselves. If we don't, we're going to be talking untruth to ourselves, or the world's going to be telling us untruth. There's plenty of it out there. You know, believe whatever you want. Follow your heart. Your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. You need to follow the word, not your heart. If one of your children is spiteful or quarrelsome, or an acquaintance of yours, it means they have not been sitting at the foot of the cross. The foot of the cross is a place to frequent, to sit and stare and admire and learn the power of God, the message of the cross. In Pilgrim's Progress, long after the burden was gone, Pilgrim said he lingered and he stood and he wondered and he looked and looked again. He was already converted, but he was pondering on the cross. And I think a good thing, a good study might be to learn to live at the foot of the cross. This is something that I would like to do. Milton Vincent said he did a study of things he learned at the foot of the cross, and he came up with 31 things that he knew to be true at the foot of the cross. But he takes us on a 360 around the cross, and he includes 8 of those things that we can think at the foot of the cross and help others to think, to move ourselves or others to a place of forgiveness. Thought 1, Christ has suffered and infinitely more so than I am now, so I am never alone in my pain. Think about that. Just think about that. You know, when you are suffering from a hurt, it feels so lonely. You know, you feel like you're the only one who understands it. You're the only one who can really feel your pain. You know, you can tell somebody else, a dear close friend, someone who's helping you work through your struggle, but they're never going to be able to feel it like you are. But Jesus does. In Isaiah 53, we have an observation of what he sees of the dying Messiah, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. He bore our griefs and our sorrows. He didn't just bear the cost of payment for our sin. He bore our griefs and our sorrows. He bore your every sorrow. He bore your every grief, your every pain that you experienced. Jesus bore that willingly while on the cross. So learn to go to the cross. Take your kids to the cross in their moments of pain, grief, and sorrow. You know, Jesus even refused medication, Mark 15:23, when they were going to put wine in his mouth, because he didn't want to dull his senses. He wanted his senses to be at their sharpest. He was willingly taking our grief and our sorrows, not only the payment for our sin. Hebrews 4:15 says, "We have a high priest who suffers with our weaknesses. He feels something. He has already experienced that on the cross." We have a Savior who is engaged, somebody feeling together with us. You know, nothing isolates like pain. No one really gets it. No one's inside your circle of pain. And that's why it's a natural reaction to want to retaliate and to lash out and to bring the person who hurt us into our circle of pain. This person inflicted suffering. I want to move that other person into a circle of pain. You inflicted this on me. I want to inflict pain on you. That's natural, but we need to not do that. But we need to realize that Jesus willingly bore our grief and our sorrow. He bore our pain. He knows what we're going through. He went through it for us. He experienced that. Now, when we're going through a tough time or our kids are going through a tough time, it is a tough time. But Jesus took upon him the griefs and the sorrows of every person in the world. Can you imagine what that torment must have been like? In the garden, he said, "Father, if this cup can be taken from me, take it from me." But he knew he had to suffer that. He willingly bore that for you, for your kids. Getting to the place of forgiveness, Isaiah 53 is a great place to go to take your kids. But you kind of feel like you're climbing upstream to fight the battle of forgiveness. But when you're doing that, you're slaying 1,000 other giants at the same time. The bitterness, the worry, the envy, the physical illness many times. If we are bitter and we're angry and we're unforgiving, it can cause physical ailments in our body, in our flesh. I have heard it said that wanting revenge is drinking poison and expecting it to hurt the other person, but actually it's you that it's going to hurt. And bitterness is a poison. It is a poison. It defiles many. We are told in Scripture that it springs up and causes many to be defiled. So it's not just a decision you're making for you. If you choose to be bitter and unforgiving, it's going to affect all those around you, everyone in your family, probably everyone in your church, everyone in your sphere of influence is going to be affected by your poor decision to not forgive and to dwell on bitterness, dwell on wrong people have done for you. Forgiveness, remember, is to send away the sin. Grace is what we need to forgive. The definition of forgiveness is to send away the sin between you and the one who committed the sin against you. Send it away. Hold it no longer. Release them from the prison of vengeance that he deserves for the sin he committed. And then positively favor him with real and practical, undeserved kindness. That's the second step that we sometimes forget to do. But how do we get there? You know, our kids are upset by something, they're wounded, they're hurting, they're reeling, they're staggering, they're not there. They're at point A, which is far away from point B. But you need to discourage them from sitting around at point A and saying, well, I just figure I'll get into a mood where I'll be willing to forgive sometime. I just need time and I'll get there eventually. You have to get there deliberately. Don't wait. You need to take your kids by the hand and help them to get there deliberately. God understands you're at point A, but he gives you a powerful tool to move you from point A to point B, and that tool is the gospel. Part of the purpose of the gospel is to move you. Romans 1:16, the power of God brings salvation to everyone who believes. It's the power to transport you into the realm of salvation and take you deeper into all things salvation. A believer welling up with bitterness, he's not there. Forgiveness lies deeper. How do I get there? The transportation is the gospel. There is a place of forgiveness. The gospel is the train, if you will, or the vehicle that's going to get you there. The gospel is the power of God unto forgiveness. That's the only one. You can't conjure up enough forgiveness to forgive somebody. You need to go to the gospel and let God take you to that place. So ultimately, there are four steps of forgiveness. Step one is where you spend the most time, the path to forgiveness. Go to the cross, first of all, and do gospel thinking with a heart open to God's Spirit. You know, we see clearly at the foot of the cross, circumstances don't blind us. We can't, if we're focusing on the circumstances, we don't see straight, we don't think straight, we're thinking wrong thoughts, we're then doing wrong things because we're blinded by the other person's sin toward us. But if we do a 360 around the cross, I think the reason he says that is so that you will behold Christ and that you will ponder on the suffering that he was crucified for everyone's sin. He bore the pain, the sorrow, and the suffering for everyone in the whole world. That's almost, you can't wrap your head around that. But there's five thoughts that we can think at the foot of the cross that will help reorient our thinking. Number one, Christ and him crucified. Christ has suffered more infinitely than I am suffering now. And I am never alone. He bore my sorrows. That's Isaiah 53:4. Surely our griefs he himself bore. There's that song, he took my sins and my sorrows and he made them his very own. That's truth. He intentionally placed himself there to feel and bear. He's inside your circle of pain. He's been there. That would be a good song to sing when you're feeling like you don't want to forgive somebody. If you don't realize this, then you're tempted to drag others into your circle of pain and have a pity party, get revenge, plan ways to inflict pain on the other person. You know what? His point two, five thoughts. Apparently, sometimes God purposes that those he loves deeply be painfully sinned against. The Father loved Jesus. He called him my beloved son. He pleases me well, he said when he was being baptized. But he had to watch his son writhing on the cross, bearing the sin of the world, so much more than we can ever fathom. Sometimes, listen to this, sometimes God providentially plans those he loves to be sinfully wronged against. He scheduled these wrongs to be committed against his son. The cross was no accident. He predicted it. The prophets predicted it of old. It was a part of God's plan of redemption for man from the very start. It was God's way for man to be able to enter his heaven. There's no way man could on his own. His sins were too grievous, and there's no way that we could achieve perfection. Jesus did it for us, willingly bore it on the cross for us. It lifts us up. You know, we're on the receiving end of wrongs, and you get it. Sometimes it seems like it's wave after wave after wave, and you think, does God really love me? That's when we need to go to the foot of the cross to be comforted. And remember, this is a part of God's plan, and he does love me. We need to dwell on the truth of Scripture. The only truth that is true is the Word of God. And that's what we need to feed our thoughts with, the Word of God. 3, God the Father can be completely trusted on the receiving end of any wrongdoing. Jesus wasn't just dying, but he was trusting his Father. He kept entrusting himself to him. 1 Peter 4:19, I love this verse. Therefore, let those who suffer according to God's will entrust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. Yes, the first step is entrust our souls to a faithful Creator. Believe the truth that God does not let anything into our life that is not for our good. You know Romans 8:28. That's a verse everybody loves, but it's true. All things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. God doesn't let anything past him into our lives that's not going to make us better, that's not going to make us more conformed to the image of Christ, that's not going to point us to the cross if we let it. We need to remember that first. But then the second part, while and trust their souls to a faithful Creator while doing good. And that's the part that we need to help our kids to do too, to do good to those people who wrong them. Help them come up with a plan. Help them figure out, okay, this person wronged me. It was wrong. They did wrong to me. What can I do to do good to them? And help them come up with that plan and watch. Help them see how God can work through that. You know, we are not responsible for the other person. You're only responsible for you and your response. If somebody wrongs you, you are responsible for how you respond. Nobody can make you yell. Nobody can make you lash out. Nobody can make you do wrong. You choose either right or wrong. And the first step is to exchange those thoughts, those natural thoughts, for God's thoughts. Read the Word. The Psalms I love. If you're going through any struggle, I recommend the Psalms. The Psalms covers every aspect of human emotion, but it gives the key to how to deal with that emotion. I love the Psalms. They're comforting. If you are upset, if you're going through a struggle, go to the Psalms and you will find comfort in the Word. But feed your mind with truth and then do the right thing by doing good to those who wrong you. And we're going to put a lot more shoe leather on this next week. We're going to talk about this again. But I hope this has helped you. I hope it's helped you think. It's something we all need. You know, the things that we need to teach our kids are things we need to learn ourselves. And I've said before, I did not grow up in a Christian home. I didn't know any of this when I started having kids. So I would go to the Word to see what the Word said about different sins, about different situations, different issues. The Word has the answer. And we need to point our kids to the Word of God and help them learn, you know, give them some scriptures to guide them in their thinking with whatever it is they're struggling with. Whatever wrong somebody did to them, give them some specific scriptures to help them deal with that so that they can meditate on the word and start exchanging their natural thoughts for God's thoughts. Talk truth to yourself, and it will eventually work down to your heart so you will do the right thing. That's what we need to teach our kids. We need to take them by the hand and help them do that when they don't want to. And they will see the fruit from that, and it will become easier as time goes on, although struggles might be harder, but the process will be more natural for them to follow that process and go to the Word and find the truth to dwell on. Okay, well, I hope that's helped you today. We're going to talk about this more next week. See you then. Bye-bye.